today to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we've been talking about the past few weeks as we live in 2024. How should we live our lives? How should we walk through this world? And we looked at several different things. We looked at week 1, walking in unity. And God's people need to get along with each other. We should love each other. The Lord's done a lot for us, and we should get along. And just an amazing thought. Just a couple weeks ago, someone was reminding me about the fact. Think about two guys in the Old Testament that got along quite a bit, and they didn't have, really, David and Jonathan. Jonathan knew David was getting his job, didn't he? He knew it. And yet they were united together, and God, you think about Jonathan had several attempts. He could have made it so David died pretty easy, and he could have been the next king. But the unity that they had between each other could have only been from the Lord. And if they could get along, we can all get along. And so, great thought there. Walk in unity. The second week we walked it, walking in the newness of life. As we live this life, we're to walk not with the old man, but with the new man that's been given to us at salvation. Last week we looked at being imitators of the Lord. And walking in love. God is love, so we should walk in love. And today, we're continuing with that thought. This is part two from last week was, if we're to be imitators, followers of God, we need to walk in love. This week, we need to walk as children of light. God has saved us, and he's brought us from darkness into light. We're there in Ephesians 5. We're going to read with me today verse number 3 through verse number 14. And we'll dive into our message today. It says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Father, I pray you bless the next few minutes that we have this morning. And Lord, we thank you for this passage of Scripture. Guide us and help us, Lord. We love you. We need you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You'll notice there in verse number 7, it says, be not ye therefore partakers with them. That word partakers implies having things in common, like having a partnership or a fellowship. And as a Christian, when you get saved, there are several things that you become a partaker in that don't include the works of darkness. So when you come to the Lord, there are several things that happen. We are partakers, first of all, of his divine nature. The Bible says in 2 Peter 1, verse number 4, it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers. You see that word partakers again? Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So as Christians, we are partakers of the divine nature. We're partakers of God's promises. Ephesians 3, verse number 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So we are partners in some things. We're not to partner up with darkness, but you've been made when you got saved. You've been partakers of the divine nature, partakers of God's promises. We see next, we are partakers of Christ's sufferings. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 4, in verse number 3, but rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye might be glad also with exceeding joy. So we see some things that we are partakers in. We are partakers in his holiness. Hebrews 12, verse number 10, The Bible tells us, "For they verily for a few days chasten us after our own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." We see that we are also partakers of his heavenly calling. Hebrews 3, verse number 1. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And we also see that we are partakers of his glory as well. 1 Peter 5, verse number 1. "The elders which are among you I exhort, who also am an elder, and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also of a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Since we have this wonderful partnership with the Lord, and since we are partakers with him in all these things, why would we want to be partners or partakers in the darkness and the things of this world? That's what the Bible literally tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. What communion, look at the end of that verse, 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14, "And what communion hath light with darkness? Before you were saved, you were in darkness. But now that you're saved, you're a child of the light. So walk as a child of the light." Did you know that darkness is something that cannot stand by itself? Darkness is there because it's an absence of light. Science will teach you that. Same thing with heat and cold. Cold is just the absence of heat. In order for there to be cold, heat has to be absent. In order to have darkness, light must be absent. So when you got saved, think about it this way. The light bulb came on. Everything lit up. Everything changed in your life. I tease my parents, and my parents, in their bedroom, the window there, they have these curtains that are there, that it could be 5 in the afternoon or 5 in the morning, and you wouldn't know the difference. It is that dark all the time in there. And so, literally, my dad called me last week, and he's like, I have a question. Is it 5 in the morning or 5 in the evening? And I'm like, well, Dad, the best way to know, just go walk outside and see. He's like, taking that energy to walk outside or to call you at this moment, calling you was easier than walking outside. I said, well, I'm glad it's 5 in the evening, because if you were calling me at 5 in the morning, I would have thought something was wrong. But there'll be times he'll get up to use the restroom or something in the middle of the night, and he trips on things because it's so dark in their room. And I told him, turn on the light. It'll wake your mother up, and then she won't go back. I said, I get that. But what does light do? It helps you see so you don't trip over things. This world is tripping and stumbling over sin. It's what they do. They're in darkness. I don't expect this world to be any different. But as a child of God, with the light and the Bible to light up our path as we go, you shouldn't walk in that darkness. We've been called out of that. What communion hath light with darkness? As we looked at last week at the beginning of this chapter, we're to be followers or imitators of God, as it says there. If we're going to imitate God, there are some things that God is. We looked at last week, God is love. So a Christian should walk in that love that God is. God is light. The Bible's clear about that. That light came into the world, right? And I am the light of the world. That is what Jesus is. And when you get saved, that light is given to us. You look at the moon and you think about the moon. Today, where's the moon get its light from? The sun. Similar example for us Christians. We don't get from the S-U-N, we get from the S-O-N. And he should be reflecting in our lives and brighten things up. The fuller the moon, the brighter the evening is. The darker the moon, the darker it is outside. And we should be light to a lost and dying world. Walk as children of light. So as we look at our text today, we see some thoughts here. And Paul gives three descriptions of believers to prove his point here. First one is this, the fact that we are saints. We see, look at verse number 3. It says, "But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint." Those of you that word saint, called out, set apart. We are called out, set apart by the Lord. And Paul says, this stuff should not be done among you. Well, let's be real this morning. Do Christians do those things that are listed right there? Yes, they do. But you shouldn't do those things. And you are in the light now. So quit walking in the darkness and walk in the light. You know, as we look, and verse 4 says, "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks." You see, we are set apart and we no longer belong to the world of darkness around us. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, listen to what it says. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him, look at this, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And what we should be trying to do, we should try to live to what we've been called to. You've been called out of this world and called and separated by God. So we should live like it. That's what this is saying. That's easy to say, hard to live, and hard to preach. Because we should follow these things. Now you notice there are sins mentioned here in verse number 3. Fornication, uncleanness, or covetousness. And you know, tonight when we talk about biblical principles and things, I think you understand the Bible, it's very clear. I'm going to give you a preview of tonight, just a little preview. It's very clear in the Bible that fornication is sin. You cannot justify fornication anywhere. You can't. Fornication is sin. Now, and fornication is doing what should be done in marriage outside of marriage. And it's sin. God says flee it. You got to stay away from it. So in my house growing up and the way my parents raised me, this is where standards and preferences come into play. I couldn't hold a girl's hand growing up. And I could never kiss a girl. I kissed my mom on the cheek. That was the only girl I was allowed to kiss, my mom. And so the first time, in all reality, the first time I held Caroline's hand was when I put her wedding ring on. Say, that was crazy. It was crazy. First time I kissed her was at the wedding altar. Now, does it say in the Bible not to hold hands or not to kiss? No. But I tell you this, if you're not holding hands and you're not kissing, you're not fornicating. Right? So for me, that's what we did. But there are a lot of people, you know, we would always tease this, there was a 6-inch rule. And the way they would do it, you know, in our church and things, you have your hymn book, and you need to make sure if you're sitting next to a girl, that hymn book was between you two. That's how ridiculous it was. But anyways, it kept me there. But for me to tell you it's wrong for you to hold your girlfriend's hand, that's not Bible. Fornication is wrong, but I can't force my personal preferences on you. And there are many churches that do things like that. That's what we'll talk about tonight, and we'll go into a detail about that. And so, but fornication didn't happen because I didn't even know how to hold her hand. So you can't do much more than that, you know? And then we felt we were bad because when we were engaged, we held hands when we went on walks. And I was so bad holding. Isn't that terrible? I was guilty. I felt so guilty inside, like I'm so defiled now because I held her hand. It's funny looking back at it now. But the Bible mentions fornication here. It mentions uncleanness, and that's referring to sexual sins. But then you'll notice it says covetousness. What does covetousness have to do with sexual sins? It's the uncontrolled appetites of life. And that could be in sexual terms or in coveting things. And that's what the Bible talks about. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter number 2, it tells us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Whoever did my notes, that's supposed to be 1 John 2:16, not John 2:16. That's a great verse about selling doves and things and not making merchandise of God's house, but that's got nothing to do with the message this morning. And so the verse 16 of 1 John 2 says, it says, and what's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. It's those uncontrollable appetites. And what the Bible tells us here is that we should not do those things. You've been brought from that life to a better life. You've been brought from darkness to light. So walk in the light. We're saints. We've been called out. And then in verse number 4, it talks about a lot of things having to do with our tongues, right? Neither filthiness nor foolish talking or jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. You look in our world today, and before I get to our world today, you say, well, why does it talk about sexual sins? It talks about coveting things, and then it talks about our tongue. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what is inside truly matters. That's why what comes out your mouth, and sometimes we look at people and we're like, I'm worried about what they're talking about. I'm worried about what's in here. That's what I'm worried about. Because if they're saying it, it's been in here a long time before they said it. But look at our world today. What is comedy in our world today? They laugh about foolish things. Isn't it rare to find a clean comedian today? And what's everyone's jokes all about? Dirty things. As a Christian, your humor shouldn't be dirty. You're jesting, you're foolish talking. How many of you like to laugh? You all should like to laugh. Laughing's a good thing. And I think that God's given people a certain gift and talent to be able to make people laugh. And it's good to laugh. A merry heart does good like a medicine. Isn't that what the scriptures say? But why is it that everything in this world, it always has to be dirty? But this is the thing. Don't live like that. Don't live and hear those things and live in that stuff. Walk in the light. Because what is darkness to begin with? It's the absence of light. So if you carry the light, you should bring light to any darkness you're around. A lot of times, though, the darkness drags more darkness than it does light. You're called out by God. Be careful. Don't live in that darkness. Don't laugh at the things that this world would laugh at and the things that they do. You see, the Bible makes it clear that our speech should minister grace to those that hear it. Remember I mentioned a couple weeks ago and I used, and you know that word jesting there, and I'm not going to go through all these things, but that word jesting means able to turn easy. It suggests a certain kind of conversation that can be turned into whatever. And a lot of times in our world, they can take something that's funny and very quickly make it very bad funny. You can take something funny and you can make it good, clean, funny too. And I'm thankful for those that do that, but there are far and few between. Because that's how our world lives. We don't need to get our humor from this world. And that's why I would just encourage, that's my word there. I loved it. Ann, you were telling me that Bob was using the word encourage with you the other day. I love that. Maybe you can pick that up for me a little bit, that word. I'd like to encourage you, be careful what you let in. Be it the movies, be it whatever in this world, because if it gets in here, it's going to come out. And when you're a child of the light, you don't need this world's humor to laugh at. There are plenty of other things to laugh at. There are good, clean things. Be careful with that stuff. I encourage you to think twice about the things that you listen to and the things that you do. Walk as children of light. Why? Because we're saints. There was a Christian woman that went to a anniversary dinner in honor of a friend, but she didn't know that there was going to be a comedian there following the meal. The so-called comedian tried to entertain the crowd with some humor that degraded everything about that Christian guest that held sacred and honorable. And at one point in the program, the comedian's throat was getting dry, so he looked to the waiter over there, "Could you please bring me a glass of water?" And that Christian woman added, "And bring him a toothbrush and a bar of soap to clean his mouth." And at the end of the day, was the bar of soap going to do anything? No, but God can help us. And I mentioned it a couple weeks ago. And I mentioned fries. Remember when I mentioned fries? People don't remember Bible things, but I remember, you know, In-N-Out fries. In-N-Out fries. McDonald's fries hot with salt on them. Very good, yes. And so when you taste a bland fry, you have to do something to it. When you get a fry that just fries, like, that's good. That's how our speech should be. Grace seasoned with salt, but our speech. When you speak to someone, that's good. They should have that attitude, not, oh boy, what did I just listen to? What did I get? No, that's how our speech should be. We're saints. Number two, we are kings and priests with the Lord. Verse 5 and 6 says, For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the children of wrath into the children of disobedience. And we look at those two verses there. Now let's make sure we understand something. If you have to live a sinless, perfect life in order to go to heaven, we all will fail miserably and never get there. We will at one point or another sin and do some of the sins that are mentioned. But that was the old man that we had. We're to walk in the newness of life. We're to walk in the light. There will be darkness at times in our lives. But once you get saved, no one, nothing you do can get you out of the hand of God. God's wrath no longer abides on you. God's wrath abides on those who have not received him as their Savior and have come to a saving knowledge of who he is. So if you're a child of God, as we look at these two verses here, this is not the fact, oh, anytime you mess up, you're not going to heaven anymore. That's not what this says. You got to understand something, that once you get saved, you're always saved, and you might mess up, and you will mess up from time to time. But the thing is that the Christian, we have a new kingdom, right? We're citizens of a heavenly kingdom. Live like it. You've been called to be a saint. The church doesn't make you a saint after you die. You've been called a saint in the Lord. You are a saint. Live like it. Live up to what Christ has called us. Don't live in that darkness. Don't go back to that pit you were in. Live where the Lord's brought you. That's the theme of the message this morning. The Bible tells us in John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." That's the importance of salvation. And when we look and we think about these thoughts, the Bible mentions whoremongers and in that verse, and unclean persons. That word whoremonger is translated pornos in the Greek, and that's where the word pornography comes from. Is that same word right there that is used there. And is one who practices fornication or illicit sex, morally unclean and covetous, will join those in judgment. And that's why you got to understand, when you look at this, sin has a price. As a child of God, your price was paid on the cross by Jesus. He paid for your sin. Are there times that the Lord might chasten us and discipline us and help us? Yes. But when we stand before him, you will not be judged on your sin. You'll be judged on the righteousness of Christ, and your payment's taken care of. That doesn't give you a license to live as you want to. It helps us understand that you've been forgiven. We are saints, we're kings and things. And then lastly, number three, we are light. Look with me at verse number 7. It says, "Be not ye therefore partakers of them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Now it's interesting. Verse number 9 says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." I think a better word there for Spirit would be light, because we're talking about light right here. If you want to say the Spirit is light, you can fit that in there too. But we're talking about the fruit, the byproducts of light is what we're talking about. So as we look here, what is the byproducts? What's the fruit of light? It is goodness, righteousness, and truth. Is that what this world is? Is darkness that? Is there goodness in darkness? No. Is there righteousness in darkness? Is there truth in darkness? No. They're opposites, right? And so as we look here, we are saved now. We should be living this way instead of living down here. You'll notice, and being a police chaplain, I go on ride-alongs every once in a while, and I got a pretty good handle on what goes on in our city, being a police chaplain. Coming up, the nights that have been cold are normally pretty slow. There's always some things that happen. But when it's dark and warm outside, it's always busy. It's not the middle of the day when they're doing it. It's at night. People don't go rob the business in the middle of the day when they're all there. They rob it at night. It's the way it works. Night, darkness, there's a lot of bad associated with it. As children of light, that should not be us. The Bible says to walk as children of light. Jesus has much to say about light, doesn't he? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." How we need that. The Bible tells us, John 3:20-21, "Everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. to walk as children of light. You say, well, Pastor, what does that mean? It means to live before the eyes of God, not hiding anything as part of it. Do you realize you can't hide things from God? You can hide things from me, you can hide things from other people, but we cannot hide anything from God. Adam and Eve in the garden, they hid themselves from God. You can't hide yourselves from God. The Bible says in Hebrews 4, verse number 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He sees and knows it all. Now, even airport security, I was reading an article the other day about this couple that went, I don't remember where they went, but he had 4 hunting bullets left in his bag. They didn't realize. Now he might get 12 years in jail in some other country there. And he says they were there the whole time. Now, were they there or not? I'm not the judge, but he says they were. Even airport security commits something. And what do? They look through your bags. They put through an x-ray machine and they look and see what's in your bag. They can miss something. God doesn't miss anything. He knows everything. The eyes of the Lord, they're in every place beholding the evil and the good. He sees and knows it all. We are to walk as children of light. An author asked Charles Spurgeon for permission to write his life story. And this is what Spurgeon said. You may write my life in the skies. I've got nothing to hide. I would hope that would be each of our attitudes, because God sees it all. He knows it all. But walking as children of light also means revealing God's light in our daily lives by our conduct, by our character. We are to bring God's light into a dark world. You see, as God's light, we help others find the light, right? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 and 4, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And you know, as we look at that, the mind of the unsaved person is blinded by Satan and blinded by sin. And the light of the gospel and Jesus is the only hope that this world has. Like, you look and people all say, our world's crazy today. It is, and wickedness is running rampant all around us. But you know what we need today? I don't need you to go stand and hold a picket sign somewhere. God just needs you to live like a Christian and let your light shine everywhere you go. If you want to hold a picket sign, you do whatever God leads you to do. And if that's you, I would just remind you, you're supposed to speak the truth in love, not in hate. Don't resort to what other people do. You don't overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. But you don't understand how those... I do understand how those people are. They're in darkness. They're wicked. They don't have the light. So a Christian should be different, right? We don't stoop down to their level. We rise up to the Lord. It's a great way to look at it. Light reveals God. Light produces fruit. Light exposes what's wrong. There's no surgeon that will go into an operating room in the dark. No artist is going to paint a picture in the dark. No teacher is going to teach their children in the dark. Carl, are you going to teach your class in the dark? No, it's not going to happen. So, well, why is that? What's so important? Because you got to understand something. Light matters. God's light reveals his true character. It exposes why did they hate Jesus so much? Because the light he was. Why did the religious people have such a problem? Because they didn't like him and the light that he was. Why did the sinners come to him? Because they wanted that light. Do you see the difference? The problem was the light. They were convicted by being around Jesus. And conviction will lead you to him or lead you to reject him. That was the problem. It should be the same today. This world shouldn't love Christians always. I would love for the world to love us always. But if you got to choose Jesus or this world, you always choose Jesus. You got to get the light to the lost. And you know, when we talk about that, and that's why it's so important. And you look at what it says there. Look, proving was acceptable unto the Lord, verse 11, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. And that's, I can correct someone. I can tell them what they've done wrong. we're all good at reproving, aren't we? But keep reading what it says. For as it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You want to help someone Oh, I'm just going to tell them like it is and tell them what's wrong with them. The best way to help someone that's walking in darkness is to bring the light. We don't always bring the light. Someone was here a few days ago doing something. They wanted a flashlight. And I'm like, my batteries are dead, my flashlight in my office. So I had my phone. I had a little light there. But what darkness needs, it needs light. So, Pastor, this person in my life, they're really in darkness right now. I'm not telling you to go down the road of darkness with them. But I'm telling you, why don't you bring some light? You know what your work needs? Light. You know what our schools around us need? Light. You know what our government needs? Light. It's what they need. Everyone needs light. It would help us in so many ways. There's so much there. You also see a caution in verse 12. And I think this is something that we missed today. And I'm just going to look at verse number 12. It is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. Be careful how you treat and how you deal with the unfruitful works of darkness. We live in a world that's tell it like it is. I hear parents often, my kids need to know what it's like to live in the real world. And that's why they're teaching our five-year-olds how to have sex in their books and teaching our kids how to put condoms on things because they need to know all that stuff. The Bible, there's a great verse in Romans chapter 16. Romans 16, verse number 19. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. If I were to stop today, and I'm not going to, if I were to tell you what I learned my first year in Bible college that was not godly, that I had no clue about, you would be shocked. At a Bible college. Say, well, why? What's all that? My parents sheltered me from things. And you know what everyone says? Well, you need to teach your kids how to live in the real world. No, you know what you need to teach your kids? What the Bible says and how to follow biblical principles. And that way, when the bad things come, they know what to do, the right thing. That's the right way to live. Say, well, did it mess you up? No, I was okay not knowing, you know, not holding the girl's hand till I got engaged. I was okay. I'm okay. I'm all right today. It's okay. We want our kids to know all these things. And that's what our world's telling them. Let our kids pick out what gender they want to be. Let them pick out this. Let them pick out all that. And the Bible makes it clear. Leave them simple. It's sad today that the average 7 or 8 year old knows more about life and all that stuff than I knew at 18 or 19 years old. And what good does it do them? You put filth out, it's going to corrupt. Teach them what's right. So that way, when the evil comes, they know to do right. When I went to college and I learned, and I, well, found out several things I didn't have a clue about. Didn't have a clue about any of it. I knew what was right. And I knew that a Christian shouldn't do those things. So just because my friends did those things didn't mean I did them. Worry about teaching your children right. Have them wise to that which is good, simple concerning evil. You don't need to explain to them all the works of this world and how it all works. Teach them what's right. At some point, I know right now, William is one of the only boys his age and only kid around us that doesn't have a cell phone yet. So why don't you give your son a cell phone? I love it. The Fischetti's back there, they got a phone for their son when he went to youth conference with us. It's one of those old flip phones. We're at the Angel game the other day, and he's like trying to record a video on that little thing, and I'm just laughing. because it's just, that camera probably is like 20 years old, and that's the first cell phone I ever had. Something I get that. But before my son ever has a cell phone in his hand, I'm going to teach him the right things to do. I'm not going to sit down and say, here, let me show you how to get to all the bad stuff. Because what's he going to do? You remember, you ever have anybody tell you, your mom or your wife, don't look? What normally happens? You look, right? Don't look that way. Oh, yeah, no, don't look that way. Teach them what's right. It's like there are a lot of Christians out there. I had someone just last week that came to me, Pastor, I want to learn about how these religions view all these things. And I'm like, you don't even know where you stand with Christianity. Don't start looking at other stuff until you major on what you need to major on. Learn Christianity, follow that, and then maybe look into it. But I don't even know. So, well, how am I going to reach a lost person? You're going to mess yourself up. Be wise in that which is good, simple concerning evil. We see that right here in our text and the importance of it. And when you think of light, and this morning it was a great example in my house. So in our house, our blinds are very similar to these. And these blinds do pretty good on keeping light out and things. But right when the sun comes up, if you notice, I'm going to pull on this one for a second. You notice there are the little, where the cord is here, there's the little slat here, the little thing here. So this morning I'm laying in bed. It's like 6:05, 6:10, and I'm still trying to sleep a little. You're like, you were still in bed at 6? Yeah, I do 3 services in the morning. I sleep in a little bit. I was also up later than most of you were last night, so don't judge me and I won't judge you. And you might get a nap today, and I'm probably not going to. But it was like 6:10, and literally that little thing hit my pillow just right to where the sun was. It's a little thing. And the sun was shining right in my eyes at 6-something this morning. And when you think of the sun coming up and you think of light coming in, you think of a new day, right? And we see there in verse number 14, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and rise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. When you think of light, you think of waking up in a new day. And Paul presented this picture there in verse 14. He's paraphrasing, and yeah, he paraphrases Isaiah 60, verse number 1, which says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And you think about it, when the Lord died on the cross and he rose from the dead, that new day changed everything. Christian, the Bible talks about in the book of Romans, now's the time to rise up, now's the time to awake, now's the time to live for the Lord. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1, verse 12 and 13, give thanks unto the Lord, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. So you know what you see in that verse? The same things we just read in Ephesians today. You need to, you're a saint, you've been delivered. You're translated into his kingdom. Walk in the light. Christian, walk in the light. Let your actions, your deeds, your conduct follow Christ. Bring light to this world. You want to help America today? You want to help this world? Light. Light. Be a light. You know that song, This Little Light of Mine, I'm going to let it shine? Don't hide it under a bushel. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Father,